land in the middle of nowhere. Consecrate the Moon is a Masonic temple. Tranquility Base is a Masonic temple consecrated by Buzz Aldrin, 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, who performed a Masonic ceremony on board the lunar module before he and Neil went out on their first moonwalk. And he admits it in two of his biographies. Neil admits it in his biography.
Beginning of the summer, they're going to announce their UAP research findings. So things are going to get interesting. What's that going to be? I don't know.
Yeah.
But they put a timeline on it. And, you know, you've got that happening at the same time of what's going on with Arrow, with Congress, and they're interviewing credible experiencers throughout UFO history.
Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisnop. Today, we're going to be joined by two very special guests. Two guests so special to the UFO UAP phenomenon. If you stay plugged in to this disclosure of what's going on in our world, you got to listen to this episode. We're going to, first of all, let's talk about who we're interviewing, okay? Because if you don't know who they are, you really should. And if you do know who they are, you'll know why I'm so excited. Darcy Weir is a filmmaker. He's a director. He's got a new documentary called Secret Space UFOs Apollo 1 through 11 that I was able to screen, and we discuss it on the show. You also can watch it on Amazon and all the places. It's on Vimeo, all the places. Links are always in the show notes. But he's done a whole slew of films, a whole slew of the Secret Space UFO documentaries. If you're like me, you're a nerd and you've watched them all on Amazon Prime. He's done Beyond the Spectrum, The Underground, about underground bases that I've talked about on this show years ago. He's done one called Being Taken. He's got tons of them. And he's still cranking them out. This new one's, it's hot. Then we're going to be joined by Mike Barra. That's right. From 18 Aliens. The one, the only. He also is the co-author of the book Dark Mission with Richard Hoagland. And we're going to discuss a variety of very important disclosure topics. I'm even going to confront Mike. And you're going to hear it. I'm going to confront him on his little bestie friend, Mr. Richard Hoagland, stealing my book. If you follow me long enough, you know Richard Hoagland infamously kicked me off his show years ago. Too controversial for Richard Hoagland, I guess. I don't know. Or I was a bad guest, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. I'll give room for that. But either way, Mike's not getting off the hook. That's his friend. And I'm going to tell him what I think. And you're going to hear it on the show. I am, of course, joking. I will talk to him about it, but in the most passive-aggressive manner. But we're going to talk about this documentary, Secret Space UFOs, Apollo 1 through 11, the meaning behind all of the reasons why they're giving us disclosure now, because we all know something's awry. We're going to break down theories on the UFO congressional hearings. And of course, you know, I'm going to talk to them about this nonsense. They believe that man has in fact walked on the moon. I do not. So we have a very short debate about that as well. We're going to talk about Freemason rituals, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, all the things you could have ever wanted here on this one-hour interview. Oh, and of course, you know I've been obsessed with Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks even comes up on this episode. My goodness. Is there anything else you could possibly want? We got one of the Ancient Aliens crew in here. We got a legendary filmmaker. We got UFO experts, and they're bringing the heat. And let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a little inside baseball here. I actually didn't know Mike was going to join us. I had no idea. It was quite the surprise, because I was talking to Darcy. When you do this, you connect on the app before you start recording, and you're like, hey, Darcy, my name's Isaac. What's going on today? How you doing today? Okay, cool. Okay, well, here's how the show goes. We're going to do this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to make sure I cover? Okay, cool. Let's just hit record and let's go for it, right? So we hit record. We go for it. And I bet, I don't even know. It might have been about 5 minutes in. I see on my screen a third guest wanting to join the stream. And it's Mike Barra. And I said, oh my God, what is this? Ancient Alien superstar himself. He's joining us because he's in the Secret Space UFOs Apollo 1 through 11 documentary. He's in there because he's breaking down all this imagery you see from the moon and all this stuff, right? So I said, okay, I guess it's on and popping. Let's go. So, you know, pleasant surprise, good times. You're going to love it. Without further ado, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weinstein. We got a very special guest today. We got a filmmaker, Darcy Weir. He's in the house. He's going to tell us all about the Apollo secret space program. I'm hoping. I've got a lot of questions because, you know, the audience knows I'm really skeptical about man walking on the moon. But he's got this amazing, fantastic documentary. It's got a lot of big hitters in there, big names from the ufology world. And he's joining us today to discuss these things. Darcy, how you doing?
Good, Isaac. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, pleasure's all mine. I appreciate you doing our show. What I would like to do, if it's all right, maybe we could do, I always like to get to know the guests a little bit, 5-10 minutes of, you know, what got them into filmmaking, maybe some other works they've done, some inspirations. I always find that the most interesting part of the conversation for me, because I like getting to know the people that are involved in, you know, some of these topics are a little fringy sometimes. So if you don't mind, would you mind kind of walking us through what led you down this path to start making documentaries about UFOs and secret space programs?
Sure. Well, you know, I was trained as a filmmaker at a technical school to do video and film and video production. And I learned how to edit video in high school. I was like a communications technology nerd. Oh. And I went to university and I studied film theory and sociology there, which sociology is like the study of human group pattern behavior. So that was interesting because I got actually exposed to a lot of documentaries, Noam Chomsky, like really cool stuff in terms of filmmaking, but documenting reality, right? And when I was doing sociology, I kind of made a mental note, like, I'd like to make documentaries. I'd like to interview people, hear their perspectives on a certain reality, and find out more about a subject. And in that journey, on that journey of learning about a subject, documenting it, creating a film that other people can go down that journey with me. So I started to find out about, you know, life in the universe. In the university, I studied an astrobiology class 101 as an elective. I am not a astronomer or astrobiologist by any means, but I actually read Seth Shostak's book, which was a curriculum book that's still being taught in Astrobiology 101, which is, I think the title is Are We Alone in the Universe? Hmm. So it poses that question. Fast forward, you know, to the past 2 years, I actually got to work with Seth Shostak on my recent documentary, Secret Space UFOs, Fast Walkers, which documents space-based UFOs that have been recorded by space instrumentation, whether that's satellites, deep space satellites that are employed by the military, the Air Force, the Navy, whatever, as well as Earth-based telescope systems that are monitoring space from the planet. And Seth, you know, Seth Shostak runs SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's a pretty interesting guy. Their whole thing is, you know, those radio telescopes that are all over the planet looking up into the stars.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a message from another civilization that might be beamed across the universe, across a galaxy or whatever. And then we pick up that message and decode it and see if it's something intelligent, right? That's his whole job. It's been that way since the late 1970s. And so I've had an interest in space and the question, are we alone, since I was 19 years old? I won't lie. I've watched X-Files and all that sci-fi good stuff that's been produced in mainstream, you know. I've been traveling right now to make another documentary, and my friend who's traveling with me, we're making all these like Star Trek jokes all the time. So obviously I've been influenced by media, by fictional media. But I think there's a reality to the question that we are not alone in the universe. And my documentaries explore that question. Obviously, I haven't just focused on that question in my documentaries. I've produced, as of May 2nd, when Secret Space UFOs Fast Walkers comes out, that will be my 16th feature-length documentary. I've made many documentaries on UAP or the UFO phenomenon, but I've also made two on cryptids, two on Bigfoot or Sasquatch, and the implications of whether we're alone in the wilderness, so to speak. And then I've made a cryptocurrency documentary, The Bitcoin Field Guide, which is another interest of mine. I think cryptocurrency is going to really be part of everyday life in terms of financial transactions for citizens and commercial companies and the government from now until the future. So that's why I thought that documentary was important to produce. And it is a field guide. It's meant to educate people on an elementary level what all the different themes are in the crypto space. Like, what is blockchain? What is Bitcoin? What are smart contracts? What are NFTs? What is currency? And how is that going to change? Where were we before in history using currency, money, and trade? And where are we going in the future? And yeah, so it was just a fun journey I've been on the past decade or so, making these different stories and working with interesting people in ufology and, you know, all these different places that I've been focusing my attention to tell these stories.
Yeah, I got to say, I was impressed when I was watching the Secret Space program at the, you know, you've got some of the biggest names right now in ufology. You know, James Fox, we had Richard Dolan's on there, and of course the great Mike Barra, right?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask, would it be all right if we invited Mike into the studio with us to join us on this conversation?
I would love to have that guy alongside. He's a good brother to have on your team. Where is he?
There we go. Right.
The great Mike Barra. Yeah, I feel great today. I'm looking
great. You know, this is a great surprise for me. I've watched almost every single episode of Ancient Aliens. I've got Dark Mission. In fact, if you talk to Richard Hoagland, you better tell him, he better send me the copy back, because I sent him a paperback and I said, I need you to sign this and mail it back. And I'm still waiting 3 years later.
Yeah, you're going to wait a while. He's probably forgotten about it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
You're going to have to go to Albuquerque to get that one back, Richard, I think. But yeah, Dark Mission's like the Bible of conspiracy theory, right? It's like, it's great stuff. And thanks, by the way, for having me on. And go Manchester City. We're going to play Bayern Munich today, the Champions League. We're going to crush them. That's why I'm wearing the kit. It's great to have, you know, to be here with you and Darcy, because I think, I did another show last night, and I just think that this is a really important documentary to talk about what really happened during the Apollo program. So it's very important stuff.
Yeah, and over the years, it seems like, yeah, and the topics that I cover on my podcast, I try to stick mostly to the realm of the occult and some of the ideas of, you know, Carl Jung psychology and Gnostic religion ideas versus Christianity ideas and extraterrestrial life and kind of all these sort of questions. And like Darcy was saying, you know, I also influenced by fiction growing up, but that doesn't necessarily discount it as the wrong theory about what's going on. In fact, all my audience knows I'm obsessed with Twin Peaks. I just watched it for the first time about 6 months ago and got through it. And I'm deep down. I've read all the books. I'm like just going nuts trying to figure out how to piece this together, because it matches all of these ideas I've been reading and researching and writing about for the last 11 years.
So you watched all of Twin Peaks? All the original series and then the Showtime 17 parts? That's a lot of...
You're right, Mike. Well, what happened was I got sick in October. Long story short, I had chronic sinusitis, it turns out. I found out last week. And so for the last 6 months, I've been pretty much just sick. And yeah, it afforded me the time to finally sit down and watch this show. And now I get why everyone was telling me all these years, you need to watch Twin Peaks, because all the topics I discuss find a way into the story. And I think this is a good segue into the...
Wait a minute. Before we leave Twin Peaks, I want to ask you one thing. Do you get who Kyle MacLachlan's character is? Dale Cooper. Do you get who he is?
You know, I don't. My first suspicion, the thing that came to my mind was Bill Cooper, the conspiracy theorist. But I mean, the mannerisms don't really match up.
Well, okay, he mostly wears a black suit, white shirt, and a black tie.
Man in black.
His name is Dale Bartholomew Cooper, also known as D.B. So Lynch is messing with you. He's supposed to be D.B. Cooper in some weird alternate reality. Okay. And I'm amazed, Isaac. A lot of people your age don't know who the hell D.B. Cooper was, but he's been very famous for a long time for that hijacking and stuff that he pulled off. So Lynch is messing with you all the time. He's messing with you all.
Yeah, I'm reading his biography right now. But yeah, the Twin Peaks, what I was going to say is, like, this is a good segue into the Secret Space UFOs Apollo 1 through 11 documentary that you guys are on. And when it starts out, there's a discussion about how, and you know, I'm paraphrasing, you guys can correct me here, but there was a discussion about how UFOs I hate to use that term, UAP, UFOs, whatever we want to call this phenomenon.
Let's call it UFO.
UFO sounds good to me. You're the expert, Mike. I'll call it whatever you want to call it.
Look, UAP UAP is a government bureaucratic term. Actually, Nick Pope claims he's the one who came up with it back in like 1990 to try to make it more credible. Well, we'll see. And it's possible. But it's like whenever the government tries to change the language, you need to resist it, right? I think you need to resist that because there's a reason and a narrative, and it's not good. It's not a good.
It's a PR exercise for sure. They're trying to just control the information and say whatever's here now and present is what's relevant. Whatever happened in the past is not.
Right. And no,
but that well that leads me to the question of, because I've gone down this road too, gone back and forth, and it's very odd that all of a sudden we want to have disclosure, but then I've read the big report they released in, I think it was June of 21, and it turned out it was about 10 pages saying that, hey, we just need more money, you know?
Yeah, it was nothing. I know. I agree with you. It was just, I read it. I'm like, there's nothing in here.
Yeah. So what's the goal is what I'm wondering. Are they just trying to, because I feel like when you're talking about the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, those kinds of things, they kind of already have, in a way, an open checkbook. Like, it's not like they're trying to defend that they need more money necessarily. So I don't believe that money is the motive. I feel like it's something else. You guys have any hot takes on what that something else could be? I mean,
I would say it's just information control. Like, knowing that we're at a time in history where we're going to be venturing out more and more as a civilization in the public eye, in space. You know, China has the Chang'e 6, Chang'e 7, Chang'e 8 moon missions planned, where they're literally going to take lunar soil and build bases on the moon. and eventually probably they'll go just like we're planning from the moon to Mars. This is part of our, you know, evolution as a species. And as we're going to start using different technologies, we have fusion technology being basically proven now in the public eye. It still has to be built R&D to the up the yin yang to be on a factory level and producing energy for cities or space missions or something like that. But I think we're at this precipice where we've got artificial intelligence really being integrated into society. We've got UFO, UAP knowledge and possibly disclosure that we're not alone in the universe being integrated into mainstream society. Like, move over, Kardashians. There's some other Kardashians out there. That was a Star Trek pun. But, you know, and then you've got just the fact that the space race and the economic war that's happening on the planet between China, Russia, the United States, and their allies is really kind of kicking off at the same time. So we're getting all of this change that's coming. And I think the UAP UFO issue is something that there's going to be more clarity on. We're going to find out more of that in the public eye. But I'm dubious as to what the end result will be and whether that will be information control at a greater, to a greater degree. Just look, NASA has a UAP research group with 16 panel members. Why would they set that up unless they wanted to be the authority in the public eye scientifically on what's going on with UFOs, right? And then you've got the Space Force. Just this past week, one of their high officials being interviewed by the press, and he takes a long segment at the end of that interview to talk about the UAP issue and space security and airspace security with regards to UFOs and UAP. The Space Force, the sixth branch of the military, is being set up to secure space, in my opinion, above North America. And NASA is going to be the authority scientifically of what's currently going on with UAP, and Congress with Arrow bringing in all of these witnesses from the past, like Robert Salas and so on and so forth. They've interviewed like I think about 50 people at this point. Chris Bartel from Skinwalker Ranch, like all these people from multiple phenomenon regarding UAP or just anomalies in general are being interviewed by Arrow. And James Fox is wondering, is this going to go by the way of Project Blue Book and just become shuttered away from the public and classified? Or is a lot of this information going to come out in the mainstream through Arrow? That's what we have to wait and see. And we have the UAP hearings happening as we speak. And Senator Gillibrand is literally saying we need to identify better these aerial threats. So literally, she's admitting that they're trying to put the threat spin on it. I don't disagree with the fact that you want to know what's in your airspace and outer space above your continent, especially when things are getting hot between you and adversaries on the planet. But
I thought that was interesting. In the documentary, you're talking to James Fox, and there's a discussion about the Phoenix Lights, and there's an idea you guys sort of float around of, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the impression I remember was that he was thinking that this is not strictly Area 51 U.S. technology, that because there's these sort of telepathic, supernatural, paranormal elements to these stories, which is what I subscribe to. I think there's some paranormal, I'm more of an interdimensional guy than an extraterrestrial guy. So I do wonder when for instance, recently, you know, a few months ago, we shot down, there was a day where we shot down like three UFOs and
four.
Not, was it four? Jeez. No photos, no video, no nothing. Just, oh,
just one balloon being popped over the coast of North Carolina. Yeah. That's it. The rest, the one of them was shot down right over Lake Huron. The other one shot down over Alaska. Both of those ones, they basically state to the public, we were not able to recover anything. I find that really strange. When you think about all the technology we have to recover anything that falls into the ocean now. And one of them landed in the middle of North America in a lake, in Lake Huron. It's not like it's falling to the bottom of an ocean. It's falling to the bottom of a lake.
Yeah, and then there was the one, too, in Alaska or Montana or something. They showed a picture of it. It looked like a you know, Airstream trailer or something. And, you know, that was a picture they put out. And I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, there's a meme of C-3PO and R2-D2 climbing out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And we don't know what they were, and they won't tell us. And why is it classified? It's just really bizarre situation. But, you know, Darcy, I think what you said was really, really important, because what's going on with these hearings is, you know, I had some people on UFO Twitter saying stuff like, well, why do they have these hearings if they just come out and have some guy say that, oh, it's no technology beyond anything we already know. And, you know, the laws of physics have not, because they control both sides of the conversation in front of you. So then they, as you said, Darcy, become the authority, right? And they've got both sides under control. So if this commission or if these hearings were legit, if they were real, they'd have me on. Travis Taylor is the best guy that's on that NASA team. And Travis is not going to push the envelope too much, as good a guy as he is. But, you know, if I was on there, I'd sure as hell push the limits.
He's the Skinwalker engineer, right?
That's why I'm never going to be on there. And they're never going to put James Fox on there to talk about what he knows. And they're never going to put Dolan up in front of these people, because they want to control both sides of the narrative. And if guys like me or anything, we're loose cannons, because we're not going to go along with their narrative. And their narrative is, like you said, Darcy, the narrative is going to be threat, danger. And I think it's setting up the very last line of defense for the crumbling establishment, which is the alien invasion. Oh, look, aliens are invading. We have to go under martial law. And I really think that that's where they're headed. Everything points to it. And that's why the narrative's being established. And I would say sooner rather than later, because of the pace at which things are moving.
Mike, are you concerned that it's possible? Is it possible that there could be an alien invasion someday, somehow? And like, maybe this is a real threat.
No, I don't think it's a real threat, because I mean, we have Space Force was created for a reason. There's these Solar Warden rumors. I don't think Solar Warden actually exists, but I do think Solar Warden is the supposed secret space program that is involved with monitoring and controlling access to the planet Earth by extraterrestrial species. So, I actually just wrote an episode of this on the Y-Files, WHY, the Y-Files channel on YouTube, which is great. And, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion there is no Solar Warden, but I do think Space Force is involved in the defense of the home planet. It's you know, Homeland Security, home planet security, two different agencies, right? So, and I think we have very advanced technology that we have had since 1958 or 1960, and we have the capability of fighting back. So, no, I only see one side with their backs against the wall. And Von Braun said this before he passed away. This is the last ditch thing that they'll do to try to get control over the entire population. So if they try to tell us aliens bad, don't believe it. Don't buy into it. And don't believe what you see on your screens, right? Unless it's happening in your backyard, don't believe what you see on your TV screens or on your phones.
I don't believe that kitty cat that I just saw on your screen.
I'm sorry, it's my kitty.
So what should we do as a, you know, bystander here? When we see TikTok videos of UFOs or whatever, are you suggesting that this could be manipulated in order to get us down this fear-based road of saying, well, we need some authorities to really protect us because look at all these UFOs everywhere. Do you think that either someone's faking these things to sort of build the trap, or maybe there's real, I believe there's real phenomenon out there of UFOs and they're just trying to sort of set it up to say, well, yeah, see, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're already on it.
Well, there's real phenomena out there. We all know that. That's why we're all here. There's fake videos and there's drones, and then there's Project Bluebeam, which has the capability of simulating stuff. So I have no question that they will resort to all of these tactics to try to create the fear-based environment they want to. But, you know, when they tried to tell us that there was such a thing as COVID, I don't know if I could say it on the word on here. I don't want to get you banned or anything on any platform.
You're fine, but I get what you're saying. I do that too, so go ahead.
Well, whatever. When they tried to tell us about that, I'm like, bullshit. And I went down. Oh, can I swear? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
And I went down to my local emergency room, and there was nobody there. Oh, there's a horrible pandemic and people are dropping dead all over the street. Remember the videos of people in China dropping dead on the street? You know, we now know it was all fake and this was nothing more than the flu. But what I did is I went down and I took film and I said, they're trying to tell us there's some sort of pandemic or epidemic going on. And the emergency room, the biggest one in the area, serves hundreds of thousands of people, is empty. Those two things are incompatible with the narrative. That's what we need to do. If they try to tell us, don't go outside, there's aliens out there, go outside with your camera and upload to whatever platform you can what the reality is. Because I think you're going to find that the reality in the skies is completely different than what they try to tell you on your screens, on your TV, on your cell phones, and turn off all mainstream media. Just turn it all off. As long as Signal and Telegram and Discord and even Twitter now are active, get your information from those places, because that's a lot closer to the truth than what you're going to see on any network TV.
Well, this is why they're not going to invite you to the hearings, Mike. Right. Come on.
So, I just demonstrated my unfitness, didn't I?
So I don't want to go too far off the path. I do want to focus back on the documentary Secret Space UFOs Apollos 1 through 11, because Darcy, you do a good job of putting together, and of course this is my biased filtered sort of viewing of it, because I question almost everything, right? But you do a good job of presenting audio, photos, shots of the moon, and you know, Mike's dissecting them and stuff. You do a good job of presenting this idea that maybe we shouldn't trust what we're told. And I'd like to get a hot take from you. Like, should we trust NASA, and how, like where do we draw the line, right? Because that's one of the problems I have with the whole truth or conspiracy world. It's easy enough to get sort of down this black pill route where you're like, I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything I see on the news, you know, kind of like Mike's sentiment. It's like, I can't trust any of these people. And I understand that perspective. But when, if like, for instance, if NASA comes out next month and they say, you know what, we found extraterrestrial life from Alpha Centauri. Well, like, what do we do with that information? Do you think we should trust them, or is it kind of a trust yet verify, or do you see a clear propaganda angle that they would be coming from?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that there's propaganda within like Western society. And I think we were talking candidly before we even really kicked this off. And you were kind of saying, well, I don't even know if we landed on the moon. Right. And
I'm actually pretty firm on, I actually don't believe right. man has walked on the moon. I could be wrong, of course.
Right.
I mean,
all right. Well, let's unpack that a bit. Talk you right? out of it. And let me talk you a bit back from the edge. Okay. You black-pilled yourself. I think you kind of admitted to that. Right. And yes. We have to understand there is science out there. There is progress that's been happening scientifically to get us to where we are today in society. Like the fact that we're at this telecommunications global village environment where I can be sitting across from you technologically and speaking real time without any lag within milliseconds of showing my face, my voice, and everything is a technological, you know, buildup evidence, right? And with the NASA space missions, especially during X-15, Gemini, Mercury, well, it goes Mercury, then Gemini, Gemini, then Apollo. Those were the early missions were the bridge to the moon missions. They were just testing out getting these capsules that they were designing with humans into space, orbiting around the planet, seeing if they could survive just outer space, right? Coming back to Earth, looking at all the data, improving upon that, and then saying, okay, let's go beyond and make that bridge to the moon. Let's revolve around the moon and then come back. So Apollo 8, 9, and 10, they went to the moon. All right. It wasn't just Apollo 11, 12, 13, or well, 13, they didn't, 14, 15, 16, 17. We went to the moon on those earlier missions, but we didn't land until 11. And Russia's propaganda, which Russia definitely has propaganda, they're very efficient at their propaganda machine. There are troll armies that, you know, had invaded Facebook and coaxed millions of Americans into believing certain things. And that propaganda is extremely dangerous and weaponized. Trust me. Russia's early propaganda in the space race was that the Americans never went to the moon. They wanted to poo-poo and create that conspiracy so that they could win the minds of Americans and turn them against their own government. That is the truth.
Which they I see said, happening today with other topics.
Right. They'll still keep doing it because they tested that psyop against Americans since the 60s. They'll continue to do it today in certain arenas, right? In thought arenas. And so they came up with a popular theory within anti-moon landing conspiracies that we never got out of the Van Allen radiation belt because they couldn't. And we never landed on the moon because they couldn't. They've sent probes. They've definitely put all kinds of stuff on the moon, but they just haven't economically been in a position where they could fund man landing on the moon. They would rather stay here on Earth and own Earth. And that's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to win Earth with China against the United States. They're teaming up with the BRICS nations and getting Saudi Arabia and all these other powerful countries to go off the US dollar, which will amount to possibly a collapsing and eroding of the value of the US dollar. These are very real things that are happening in the public. So they've decided they don't want to go to space like the Americans have. They'd rather own the planet, in my opinion. And I think they're programmed to weaponize Westerners in Europe, you know, because you hear it even from people from the UK that don't believe we went to the moon. It's a falsehood. We did. The Americans have decided the greatest theater of conquest would be the space endeavor. They want to own space. And Richard Dolan quite, you know, he puts it quite eloquently in my documentary that if you own space, if you have supremacy in space, then you have supremacy of the planet because you have the vantage point. You also have the best technology because, you know, when you go to space, you're testing out these technologies before they hit the mainstream. And I don't know, Mike, you know, would you like to speak to that?
Darcy, you really nailed it because, again, it is better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. That's their perspective. And I think you really nailed it. And, you know, what's important about this documentary, Darcy, is that you expose a lot of stories and things that have not ever been told to people. And we have to keep retelling these every 10 years or so because a lot of people come along like Isaac who haven't heard these stories. They don't know about the music on the moon, you know, on the dark side of the moon. They don't know about these things that happened that are just so weird. you can't find a place to put them. Like, how do you explain that? Mm-hmm. Everybody said it sounded like music. It's apparently recorded. It was recorded in the black box recorder. These are stories that are, it's very important for people to know this. And when you take just these things that are available in public, the whole Apollo program becomes very, very weird. I think it actually is a strong reinforcer, Darcy, that these missions were real and we really did go to these places. And then you think to yourself, well, if this is what we know about that we can get our hands on, good God, what else is there out there that's even weirder? You know, why is there an experiment on Apollo 16 called Chapel Bell, which I think was a seismic experiment that's been classified for over 50 years. If the moon is nothing but a rock, a dead rock, what could be possibly be classified after 50 years about that experiment? And everybody acknowledges there was an experiment. It was called Chapel Bell. You can't get any information on it, either because of what they found, what the results were, or because of the technology. After 50 years, trust me, the technology is not worth classifying. So we have all these things that we show in the documentary that add up to something is wrong with what they tell us about the moon and about Apollo. But I don't think it's that we didn't go.
Okay, so the Chapel Bell, is that the experiment where they say the moon rang like a bell when they hit it with a missile? Is that the one?
No, it's actually It's actually not. There was an experiment, I think it was Apollo 16, where they did deliberately crash the lunar module upper stage, the ascent stage, Orion, into the moon, and then measure it from the seismic instruments, and it did ring like a bell. And I think there was a previous experiment too, but that is not what Chapel Bell is. Nobody knows what Chapel Bell is, but looking at the title, it probably is that. It's probably some super secret, deeper dive on the information about what the hell the moon is made of, mm-hmm. and how hollow it is, which it I think it is. So pretty weird.
Mike, what's your take on so Darcy presents in the film towards the end the idea of it being a Freemasonic ritual, because that's kind of right up my alley, where and in fact I had a conversation with my wife this morning when I told her I was going to do this interview, and she knows that I don't firmly believe, but I pretty firmly believe that I have doubts that man actually walked on the moon. I have no doubts that we orbited it, that we spent a lot of money, that we did a lot of research, all that. Right. And we don't need to get into that today, but
That's another program.
But I, the piece of the idea that we used it as some kind of Freemasonic ritual of the Apollo sort of phallus, Osiris entering the feminine lunar goddess Isis as some kind of Freemasonic ritual, that's the part that my wife, she pushes back, says, well, if you believe that's the ritual, why don't you believe that they actually went through with it and put that flag, that 33rd degree Scottish Rite of Freemasonry flag, on the moon? And that's the part where I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that. Like, that is kind of a tripping point for me. What's a good take, Mike, right? You talked about this.
Yeah.
What's your take on the Freemasonic angle? Do you think there's some kind of ritualistic element that they really were pursuing the whole time, or maybe it was just a byproduct?
It came first. Apollo 11 was, they landed in the middle of nowhere. And they wanted to do that because they wanted to make sure nobody could see any of the structural stuff that's built up over the horizon. And that's all over the moon.
Did you point out on the documentary, I see many, right. What do you call it? The shard, and there's
the shard and the tower and all these other things. And the rest of the missions were all technology salvaging. We were all going back to get the Anunnaki technology and bring it back to Earth and reverse engineer it, probably for weapons. But Apollo 11 was purely symbolic. It was land in the middle of nowhere where we didn't think there was a lot of this stuff. Land in the middle of nowhere. Consecrate the moon as a Masonic temple. Tranquility Base is a Masonic temple consecrated by Buzz Aldrin, 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, who performed a Masonic ceremony on board the lunar module before he and Neil went out on their first moonwalk, and he admits it in two of his biographies. Neil admits it in his biography, and Buzz took a Masonic apron with him to the moon. That's what we did for Dark Mission. Is we replaced, I don't have a copy of Dark Mission, we replaced the American flag with the Masonic flag, you know, and the astronaut standing there holding the flag, because Buzz took that Masonic ceremonial apron with him to the moon. So we have, he had a ceremonial apron. He performed a ceremony. The only question we haven't been able to ask him, and this is what I would ask Darcy if we ever got, we ever got an interview with Buzz, is were you wearing that apron when you performed the, what he called a communion ceremony? It was, you know, wine, chalices, bread. It, in reality, that's an ancient Egyptian ceremony that honors Osiris, the great god of ancient Egypt and the god of the Freemasons. So did you actually wear that thing when you performed that ceremony? And I'm going to tell you, the answer is yes. And the purpose of it was to consecrate the moon as a Masonic territory and Tranquility Base as a Masonic temple. And that's a, another reason people don't realize this. There's no pictures of Neil Armstrong on the surface of the moon from Apollo 11. Every picture you see, all the famous pictures, they're all of Buzz Aldrin. Mm. That's why Neil Armstrong went out first, was so he could take pictures of the first Freemason to walk on the moon. That
was, oh wow, okay,
of him going out first, from as far as I'm concerned. So Buzz was the real star of the show. That's why, since they got back, you know, Neil Armstrong has slipped into the background. And who is Apollo 11? It's Buzz, Buzz. It's been for 50 years. It's been Buzz, 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 Buzz. And Neil's back here being very quiet.
Yeah, I think they said Neil only did one interview his whole life. I could be wrong on that.
A few more than that, especially okay, on ceremonial occasions, but not very much. Not very much.
We include a few of those interviews with Neil and Buzz in the documentary. Yeah. And I think Neil, you know, based on that speech he did at MIT before he passed, you know, kind of saying unlocking truth's protective layers, mm-hmm, and that the future people, you know, these students have to do for the rest of the world, that was important. This cryptic speech was kind of like saying that he was disturbed about reality and that not everybody knew exactly what was going on outside our planet and around our planet, you know, in terms of truth. So I think that's why he didn't speak often, because he didn't want to lie to the public. He seemed like a person that was very, very honorable and knew that lying was something that was kind of like tarnishing his soul. And, you know, this is my opinion, but we look at Buzz Aldrin's behavior and what happened with him and how he kind of ghosted James Fox. You can see that story in this documentary. And at one point he was willing to go to James Fox and talk about his multiple UFO experiences. That makes you think that astronauts know a lot more, but they're keeping this all, you know, deeply under wraps because they're probably part of information control in terms of what the public can know in regards to the subject.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the main points I took from your documentary, the idea that they were scripting the language that these astronauts could use. And I thought, oh my God, that explains why there's that famous sort of press conference when the astronauts get back and they seem, I mean, they're not excited or joyous. They seem very distraught.
There's so much tension there. And I think it comes, like Darcy said, from a number of things. Number one, Neil Armstrong is the lead guy pushed out there, but he knows he's not really the lead guy. It's really Buzz. Buzz is tense because Buzz wants the attention of being the lead guy, but he has to hold back and be deferential to Neil Armstrong. You know, Michael Collins is clueless. He didn't land on the moon. He didn't really see a lot of the stuff.
He's like,
delicate pale blue marble. Oh, you know, pale blue dot in the sky. We gotta take care of the Earth because, you know, driving cars is going to destroy the planet and all that crap that Collins got into. And so there's all this tension there. Plus, they have to be very careful. This is their first time being questioned by the press, and they're under NDAs. So they have to make sure they say the right thing. So the tension there to me is I got to make sure I don't say anything I'm not supposed to, and I got to make sure that I don't accidentally spill the truth. And I agree with Darcy 100% that Neil Armstrong's silence, and he was not a public person anyway. He did not like the limelight. He had a basic shyness about him, and then you add to that the fact that you know, he didn't want to slip up and say something he shouldn't have. And on that 25th anniversary, he came really close when he talked about, if you just peel back truth's protective layers, you can find wonders unimaginable. And I'm like, holy crap, he's telling you that you don't have the truth, that you gotta peel some stuff back to get to the root of the onion and find out what's actually in there. So they did their best. They've all done it. The only way that they could have, I think, done better, the only way they probably could have protected themselves, Darcy, is if all the astronauts that saw stuff and knew stuff got together at one time and had one press conference, you know, 20, 25 years later, and told everything. That way they could have protected themselves, because then if, you know, members of their families suddenly had their cars explode on the freeway, like the Georgia governor's daughter did or something, you know, remember back during the election stuff. So, you know, then it would have been highly suspicious if anything happened to their families. Totally. But as long as it's one guy coming out, then
they can isolate him and chastise him and blackball him from the rest of the organization. Yeah. And I think, to your Michael Collins point about protecting the planet and the environment, that is quite honestly NASA's public persona. Mm-hmm. They are a climate agency. You can even see in Ben Nelson's, it's Ben, right? The head of the NASA,
Bill Nelson.
Bill Nelson, my God.
Yeah, former senator. Yeah,
Bill Nelson's recent interview with Axios, that news agency, he says that we are a climate agency. We do a lot of climate science. And I think they do that, but they push that sort of green, you know, save the planet perspective. And that's been NASA's mission in the public arena for a long time, even using Michael Collins to announce that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Protect the planet. And I get that. There might be some truth to that, but on top of everything else, you know, you have Bill Nelson quite honestly saying that this June, the beginning of the summer, they're going to announce their UAP research findings. So things are going to get interesting. What's that going to be? I don't know.
Yeah.
But they put a timeline on it. And, you know, you've got that happening at the same time of what's going on with Aero, with Congress, and they're interviewing credible experiencers throughout UFO history. It's going to be an interesting time to live, to see what happens in the public arena. There's a lot of people that are steeped in this knowledge from, you know, the things that we've been researching independently over the years, as, you know, sort of freelance journalists. I think even in journalism, there's this code not to explore things in the fringe like I or Mike Barra have, which is Barra, Mike Barra. And I think that's disconcerting to a certain degree too, that, you know, just like if there were an astronaut like Apollo 14, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who they called the brain before he actually landed on the moon, he was like the math and science guy helping all the astronauts get back to the planet from Capcom. This is like one of the greatest minds of the United States coming forward and saying UFOs are real and it's being covered up.
Yeah.
Right. And they isolated him and called him a Looney Tune, most other astronauts. In fact, James Fox would say, whenever he called Buzz Aldrin after he was ghosted to get a little bit of clarity, please, would you talk about your experiences, whatever. Buzz Aldrin would joke to him, well, why don't you call your buddy Edgar Mitchell to rub it in his face, you know? And that's because Edgar Mitchell had come out and said, this is real. And he had been blackballed. And Buzz Aldrin was quite literally saying, I'm not going to be blackballed by talking about this in the public. Mm-hmm. No thanks. Go to the guy that's already been isolated from the rest of us.
Yeah, and if you violate that vow of silence, it's like any secret society. And, you know, I interviewed Professor Dana Pasulka a few years ago about her book, and she talks about that invisible college. And, you know, I just think there's a lot more going on than the public knows or even thinks about. So I appreciate that you guys are putting out great documentaries like this. And I'm looking at the clock and I see I got to let you guys go. But first I want to go to each one of you and see what you guys are working on now, what your next step is. And you can tell the audience where to find you. Let's start with Mike. Mike, where can the audience find you? What are you working on? What's your latest?
Well, you can find me at mikebera.blogspot.com. You can find me on Twitter at mikebera333. On Twitter. I'm actually allowed on Twitter now. This is like my ninth account. So you can find me there. And of course, you can always find me on Darcy's documentary, the Secret Space UFOs thing. And then I've got some appearances coming up. I'm going to be at Spruce Pine, North Carolina for the Spruce Pine UFO Expo with my buddy Tom Reed. That'll be on June 10th, Saturday, June 10th. That's going to be loads of fun. I'm going to be going to Las Vegas in September for a show there. And then I'm going to go to Barcelona, Spain for the World UFO Congress, I think it is, or World UFO something conference. That'll be loads of fun coming up. And so two events coming up in September. And then I am doing some writing for the folks at this channel called the Y Files, WHY Files. I got about 2 million subscribers and I'm writing some scripts for them for 30-minute videos, and highly recommend the channel. We get to the truth of everything. And that's why I agreed to work with Darcy, is because I'm not selling anything, really. I would like people to buy my books and I'd like to be on TV and, you know, all that stuff. I love that. But Darcy wants to get to the truth, and so do I. And that actually kind of makes me an outlier, pushes me away from some of the UFO circles, right? Some of that they don't let me in certain places anymore because they know I'm going to get up there and tell the truth. And Darcy's committed to the truth too. And that's really why I want to work with him on a regular basis. So you can find me all those places.
Awesome. Yes. And I'll put the links in the show notes for all the links you guys are throwing out there. Thank you, Mike. Darcy, what's the latest for you? What you working on? Where can the audience find you? Where can they pick up your awesome Secret Space UFOs Apollo 1 through 11 documentary?
Yeah, so Apollo 1 to 11, Secret Space UFOs, it's a documentary in a series of documentaries I've been making recently, and it's available on Amazon Prime, iTunes, Vudu, Google Play, Vimeo, for whoever's listening around the world. Please, if you do check out this film, leave a comment and a star rating on Amazon. It helps. I appreciate the feedback as an independent filmmaker and a researcher, like that direct, you know, feedback helps. But in terms of what I'm working on now, I've got this other film coming out May 2nd. So not very long from now. That's coming through 1091 Films, and it features a whole cast of people, including Bob McGuire, who, you know, is a satellite guy building for Falcon 360 micro satellites and stuff. And he became privy to information when he worked for NSA that they were filtering out data about UAPs and UFOs from their research instrumentation because they just wanted to focus on adversarial threats instead of the anomalies. And I've got James Fox and Richard Dolan and Jimmy Blanchett, an interesting individual who's been doing radio telescope research and building his own radio telescopes to look for UAP and stuff in space. And, you know, a whole bunch of other people featured in that I'm missing. But that documentary is covering a lot of the history, space history and anomalies coming from 1973 with the Skylab 3 incident all the way up to the STS, ISS space missions. And then, you know, everything that's going on now with Aero and the Space Force, and it's very current. So if people are kind of like, I don't want to see all the stuff from the past with the Apollo missions, they can fast forward and watch that. And it's very present sort of space anomalies. And I'm working on a documentary right now that I'm traveling around for, because I want to cover more of the truths that are out there that are kind of within the UFO community. And not everything out there that's in the UFO community is true. So I want to also point out some of that, those facets that have been kind of pitting the UFO community against each other and not been healthy with getting to the bottom of realities that are out there. So that's the current project that I can't say that I'm exactly what it is, but I'm working on, and I think it's important to be out there. And yeah, Mike Barra's a really incredible, intelligent guy that's been putting forward some good research in recent history in terms of space programs. So I hope everybody checks out his stuff. I'm on Twitter as Occult Journeys. I have a YouTube channel, Occult Journeys, and my Instagram is Darcy Weir Films. So feel free to hit me up there.
Awesome. Okay, I'll put the links in the show notes for everybody. And I want to thank you guys one last time. This was outstanding. I couldn't thank you more. You guys are great. Thank you.
Thanks, Isaac.
Thanks, Isaac. It's been a pleasure.
My God, have we got it all figured out yet? You know we don't. So check out the links in the show notes where you can find Secret Space UFOs Apollo 1 through 11. It's on Amazon, Vimeo. Be sure to drop a good rating. I'm, in fact, on my way to do it as we speak. You can also follow Darcy Weir on Instagram under Darcy Weir Films. He's on Twitter at Occult Journeys, and he's got a YouTube at Occult Journeys. Mike Barra also has, he's got his own website, mikebarra.blogspot.com, and his Twitter is mikebarra333, and he's featured on the Y-Files. Check out his Solar Warden video. I put the links in the show notes for all that stuff. And of course, if you want to support the show, as I know you do, you know where to go. I'm all over the place. If you want to support the show, you're going to figure out where to find me. Of course, in the show notes. It's on Patreon. I'm on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher and Apple Podcasts. I unlocked a premium. That's the easiest way for you to do it. If you don't want to deal with copying and pasting RSS links and all that crap, just do it on Apple. Simple. You'll get all the same benefits. You'll get the early access. You'll get all the bonus episodes. No more ads. No more free feed losing. And you know, depending on when you hear this, I've got a bonus episode I'm getting ready to launch here. So all the free feed losers are going to be losing out again. You don't want to be one of them. All right. Thanks for your support. Thanks for listening to the show. Till next time, stay woke.